Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Seekers of the truth, this is the 261st edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and today the title of the message is The New Man, and the concept of putting off and putting on. We're going to focus on a big block of scripture out of the epistle of the Ephesians, the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians while he was in prison. And last week I said this is a special message for several reasons, and I'll get into those as we go on. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, through chapter 5, verse 20. And I love the way the New King James puts the subject headings in there. So we start off with the new man, and then we move into chapter 5 with three walks. Our walk in light, our walk in light, and our walk in wisdom. So, when we talk about the new man, okay, it's a well-worn phrase. And, you know, many, from the theosophists to the New Agers, they all embrace this term. So, oftentimes, a Christian who's not real aware of the Word of God may hear that term, the new man, and get a knee-jerk reaction and that would be one of concern, and with good reason. For example, you know, the occultist and the founder of Theosophy, Madame Blavatsky, inspired Hitler's Aryan nation. And then think about it. We have the Star People and the New Age movement and their concept of ascension. And then there's the Masons. What do? They embrace this concept of on becoming, or, you know, man ever evolving into new and better man. And you know, they actually are behind this whole teaching of Darwin and evolution. And his granddaddy, Erasmus, was promoting this two generations before Darwin came along. And then listen to this opening line in Wikipedia. If you just call up the new man, what you read is, the new man is a utopian concept that involves the creation of a new ideal human being or citizen replacing an unideal human being or citizen. The meaning of a new man has widely varied, and various alternatives have been suggested by a variety of religions or political ideologies, including communism, liberalism, fascism, and utopian socialism. And let's not forget ascended masters and transhumanists. They all use the term new man. But strangely enough, okay, and quite bluntly, folks, you can see Lucifer over all of this. You can. He's just all in it and through it. But that's only because he doesn't have any original material. So all he can do is copy God, or as Protestant reformer Martin Luther called him, God. He's God's ape. Now, I say this because actually God coined the phrase. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 22 through 24 of the epistle to the Ephesians. That you put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put off the new man, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So there you have it, folks, right there. The source document for all of Satan's lies concerning the new man. God's plan for salvation, folks, I'm telling you, includes so much more than a mere makeover for you and me. For all of us in whom Christ dwells, you know? In fact, we just heard a few weeks ago out of Ephesians chapter 2 that God wants us to dwell richly with Christ in the heavenlies, not on the other side of eternity, now, here and now. That's how we're supposed to be living. Remember, Paul wrote this while he was dwelling with Christ in the heavenlies in a prison. Yet you don't smell that prison in this letter. You don't. You smell the rich blessings of heaven. You know, Paul told the Corinthians in chapter 2, in book 2, chapter 5, verse 17 of his letters to the Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Folks, we're new. We're new. And he also alludes to that over in his letter to the Colossians. So after Paul tells us to put off the old man and to put on the new man, then he continues with a long list of don'ts. And we're going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 31. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sin go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may not have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye be sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. Oh, wow, did you catch all of them? We could literally make a laundry list of all those don'ts right out of that passage of Scripture. Don't walk like unbelievers with perverse and depraved minds. That was in verse 17. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing now. Don't live in ignorance in the dark apart from God, verse 18. Don't be lusty, immoral, and greedy, verse 19. Don't lie, verse 25. Don't get angry and sin, verse 26. Don't go to bed angry, giving a place to the devil, verse 26 and 27. Don't swear, verse 29. Don't hold on to bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice, in verse 31. Hello? That's crazy, isn't it? Who can do that? Who's able to do all that, really, seriously? Unless possess a self-righteous, pharisaical spirit? The answer, of course, is no one. No one except that one person, the God-man, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's perfect and without sin. So the $64,000 question becomes, what are we to do if we desire to follow Jesus? Well, those pharisaical types, you know, those religious types with the self-righteous spirits, you know the ones I'm talking about. They say, suck it up or tough it up. You got to stay with the program or you're going straight to hell and going to lose your place in the rapture. But quite frankly, that's all a false light coming from none other than Lucifer himself. Just like he apes the concept of new man, he apes the way to put on the new man. You know, say Paul, he warns us about Lucifer pulling this kind of stunt. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 through 15, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his masters also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, folks, I've been getting emails, and I continue to get these emails. A long time after I parted ways, quite sadly, with Johnny Baptist, I'm getting emails from listeners who are very disturbed with what he's preaching and teaching concerning salvation. So would you please bear with me for a few minutes? Even if I might sound a bit foolish, you see, what's gone down between me and that man, who goes by the moniker John Baptist, has me upset. Now, not for any personal reasons, believe me. I've forgiven him, and I've moved on. But instead, because I care so much about all of you and the listeners and all of your walks with Jesus. And sadly, like I said, to this day, nearly 9 months since Johnny hijacked the show, I continue to get these emails from listeners at Tribulation Now, who are both concerned and upset with some of the things they hear Johnny saying concerning our common salvation. So this concern in me, because of my passion for God that's burning inside of me, a passion for all goodness, all righteousness and truth, it's sort of like what Paul told the Corinthians, you know? I have this passion for all of you to walk with Jesus and to know him and to love him and to live in his light life and love. It's like I... Like Paul said, it's almost like I promised your hand to Christ in marriage and presented you as a pure virgin to your husband. And that's what I always tried to do on that show. I just kept saying, look to Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. His grace is sufficient. You know, and then I started to see that morph with John, you know. And it almost feels like what the snake did to Eve with his smooth talk, you know, as he lured her away from the simple purity of her love for the Lord and his all-abundant, sufficient, amazing, dynamic, incredible grace. You see, Johnny's changed, and now he's preaching quite another Jesus than the one we once preached and taught together. In fact, it's a totally different spirit, a different message, yet sadly many listeners put up with him and even embrace his works-based lie. And it is, folks, a works-based lie that leads to nothing but striving and at times even death. And sadly, some are still being drawn in to this silver tongue speaking. Now, it's true, I don't have a way with words, with the many words, I should say, like Johnny has, and I haven't mastered his smooth eloquence of speaking over others that seems to impress so many people. But I'm telling you, folks, when I do open my mouth concerning the gospel, at least I know that I know what I'm talking about, because it's grounded not on the doctrines of men, but on the doctrine of God. You see, I haven't kept anything back from any of you and what's on my heart concerning our common salvation. And I've shared nothing with you except the full gospel and an abundant life that we may all have in Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, God is faithful. He's always met my needs, both physically and spiritually, through the most difficult times Terry and I have had with the business and the things going on in life, you know. So I was never a burden to any of you, and by the grace of God, I never will be. And I want to say you can count on that, because God is sufficient. Now, with Jesus Christ as my witness, and by the way, this is a point of godly honor with me, folks, I'm not going to keep quiet if I continue to get these emails from people. Just to avoid stirring the pot with old Johnny and his lies concerning our common salvation and what he's been preaching on Tribulation Now, because of what some of you may think, because of the scripture he always misquotes concerning Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19. You know, where he says, "He that soweth discord among the brethren," you know, God hates. Well, he does that as he takes it out of context to try to keep people like me quiet. But folks, I'm not sowing discord. I'm alerting you to a grave and potentially fatal error in the doctrine of God that John's moved away from, and he's beginning to embrace his own doctrine, the doctrines of men. He went from the doctrine singular of God, which is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. How are we saved? By grace. How will we continue in our walk with Jesus? By grace. And how will we ultimately be glorified? By grace. And he's converted it to doctrines, plural, of man. Plus, remember what Paul told the Galatians in his first chapter, verses 6 through 9. "I marvel that ye are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so I say now, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." So if you hear any gospel from a man, even from me or your pastor, that's anything other than you being saved by grace through faith under good works, let him be accursed, folks. So like I said, when I started this little rant, if you want to call it that, I continue to this day, 9 months after getting thrown off that show, while standing in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, I continue to get emails from troubled listeners. And these troubling emails are quite unsettling, folks. And it's because of what he's preaching on that show. So all of this is being said because I love you, and God knows I do. And I'm just trying to keep things open and honest between all of us. And I will not change my position on any point of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not for Johnny or anyone else. We are saved by grace through faith unto good works. Now, Johnny says you can lose your salvation. And quite frankly, that's a lie from the pits of hell if you've truly been saved. Now, there are false salvations, and you've heard me talk about that. Now, those like Johnny Baptist from Tribulation Now who say you can lose your salvation, they deny the promise, the seal of the Holy Spirit, our blessed assurance, and are actually a very sorry bunch. And when you think about it, they're pseudo-apostles, lying preachers, crooked workers who are posing as agents of the Lord Jesus Christ. But actually, their message is just a sham to the core. And no wonder, folks. Come on, like I read out of 2 Corinthians, Satan does this all the time, dressing up as a beautiful angel of light. So it doesn't surprise me when he snares one of God's workers and puts a false spirit on him, that they would start to masquerade as servants of God while actually doing his dirty work. But I'm telling you, unless they repent, they'll all pay for it in the end. You know, the way this happens is through pride. It's all about pride. So anyways, stand with me on the truth in all goodness and righteousness, please. And as Paul tells us, you'll be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Just beware of those false gospels. They're all over the place, folks. So let's get back to this message about the new man and the concept of putting on and putting off. Okay, because it ties into what I just talked about with the false gospel being taught by Johnny. So you get saved, you know, now you're struggling with all those don'ts, as all of us do. You know, don't walk like the unbelievers with perversion and depraved minds, you know. Don't live in ignorance and then in the dark apart from God. Don't be lusty, immoral, and greedy. Don't lie. Don't get angry and sin. Don't go to bed angry and giving a foothold to the devil. You know, don't swear. Don't hold on to bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. And then you hear Johnny preaching this false gospel, and you get all afraid because you can't stop doing that stuff, and you think you're going to go to hell for all that sinning. And so what should you do? Should you sin so that grace may abound, as Paul asked? Heavens no, like Paul told the Romans. Never use grace as a license to sin. If you do that, folks, you're just on the other side of the spectrum. So instead of this Pharisaical, religious, legalistic spirit that John's under, you get caught by a Herodian spirit, a hedonistic spirit. It's just as bad as the leaven of the Pharisees with all their laws and their legalism. So what do you do? I don't want to miss the rapture. I don't want to go to hell. And I don't want to question my salvation. So what should we do? Well, you know, Jesus promised us in John chapter 10, verse 10, that we're to be full of joy and have an abundant life in him and avoid the enemy who kills, kills, and destroys. So don't despair. I'm telling you, the answer is found right here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. And it involves this concept of putting off and putting on. So what we got to do, folks, is put off the old man who does all those don'ts by his very nature. That's what he does, folks. He does all those things by his very nature. And then we're to put on the new man. We're to put on that new man in the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we can sum up the whole key under the do's of the three headings I shared with you: walking in love, walking in light, and walking in wisdom. Now remember, when God says, don't do this or don't do that, what he's actually saying is, don't hurt yourself. And then when God says, thou shalt do such and such, what he's actually saying is, do this and you'll be blessed. So there's a reason for obedience, folks. And that reason, of course, is to please our Lord. But then there follows this life of abundance and heavenly blessings. We literally begin to dwell with Christ in the heavenlies here and now, not on the other side of eternity. We stop moaning and groaning. And like Paul says in this letter to the Ephesians in chapter 5, under the concept of walking in wisdom, we begin to thank God in all things. Now, before we get into these three key concepts of putting on this new man, I'd like to try this real simple experiment with you. You all know I'm a scientist, you know, so I love experiments. So what I'm going to do now is play a clip in the background, okay? I'm going to play three clips, okay? So I'm going to start with this first one, okay? And as I play this clip in the background, I want to get the volume set right so I can continue to talk over it. I'm going to play this clip in the background, and what I want you to do is try your very hardest not to think about zebras. Yes, zebras, you know, those animals that look like horses with stripes. So here we go. Now remember, don't think about zebras, okay? That's the goal for about the next minute.
Let's learn about zebras. Zebras are
don't think about zebras.
Which means they are warm-blooded, are covered in fur, and feed their babies milk.
Don't think about zebras.
They are closely related to horses and donkeys. But unlike their cousins, zebras are covered in black and white stripes. These stripes are as unique as fingerprints. No two stripe patterns are exactly alike. Zebra stripes probably serve as camouflage and may make it harder for predators to pick out one zebra to chase.
Don't think about zebras.
For a long time, people have wondered if zebras are black with white stripes or white with black stripes.
I hope you're
it
not thinking about zebras,
folks. Riddle without a good answer. But the fact that most zebras have dark skin underneath their striped pelts leads us to believe that they are black with white stripes.
Okay, now, we were doing an experiment there, and we were trying our very hardest, we were summing up our will not to think about zebras as a clip played that was teaching us all about zebras. So how'd you do? How many of you were able not to think about zebras while that clip was playing? How'd it go? Were you able to keep your mind off of zebras? Okay, well, let's try it again. This time, I'm going to play another clip. And remember, the same goal is not to think about zebras. Okay, so don't think about zebras. Let's listen to about a minute of this clip.
Let's learn about elephants. Elephants are the largest living land animals. Although giraffes are taller than elephants, elephants are much, much heavier. The largest elephant ever recorded was an African elephant that weighed 27,000 pounds, or 13.5 tons, and measured more than 13.5 feet, or 4.1 meters tall. elephants are mammals. They may not look very furry, but like all mammals, elephants grow at least a little hair. They are warm-blooded, and they feed their babies milk. Elephants are herbivores, eating leaves, fruit.
Okay, so there we took our minds off of zebras, and you didn't hear me saying, don't think about zebras, don't think about zebras, as all you heard was talk about zebras. That's the religious spirit. That's the Pharisaical spirit. Somebody telling you, don't smoke, don't curse, don't do this. The whole time, you're in the flesh, thinking about cursing, smoking, and sinning in whatever manner you're inclined to. And so that's a Pharisaical spirit. And that's what you would hear around those sorts of people. In that other one, you see the spirit of the Herodian, or even perhaps the Sadducee, the leaven of either of those two. So it's, you're not being told not to sin and not do this, but you just get diverted thinking about elephants. So maybe it was easier not to think about zebras, but what are you doing? Are you dwelling with Christ richly in the heavenlies? No, you're thinking about elephants. Okay? So now let's try this third clip, okay? And let's try not to think about zebras, and let's see what happens.
Oh, creation cries out with longing, with groans only you can comprehend, and with wisdom you always answer and give the words of life so unfailing, and your glory shines all around us, your faithfulness shown for all to see.
Praise the Lord, folks. So, you know, Paul tells us to sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. That's how you walk in wisdom. That's how you walk as the new man. So did you notice a difference between those three experiments and that first one? We're told not to think about zebras, and all you have around you is this lady talking about zebras. They've got stripes. They feed their babies milk. People wonder if their stripes are white or black. They got black skin, so their stripes are probably white. Wow, how are you ever going to stop sinning? How are you ever going to stop doing that if all you hear is this Pharisaical religious spirit telling you not to sin and to buck it up and tough it up? You just stay in the old man. You've never put off the old man. And in that second one, you think you put off the old man talking about something else. Still in the world. Still of no consequence concerning your life in Christ. But you're not thinking about zebras. But you're probably walking in what's known as greasy grace. You're still sinning, thinking about elephants, not thinking about Jesus, you know? So maybe your sin went from smoking to swearing or whatever. I don't know. But the point is that you're still not walking in love. You're still not walking in light. And you're still not walking in Jesus because you haven't put off the old man. So that's still a leaven. And either the leaven of the Sadducees or the leaven of the Herodians. Neither give you life and the abundant life in Jesus Christ. And then in that third experiment, what did we do? What did we do, folks? We did exactly what Paul told us to do. And we get later into this message, Ephesians chapter 19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what we were doing. When we did that, all that was on my mind was Jesus. So what's the point of this experiment? Why did I do this? Well, we're actually single-minded, folks. And by that, I mean, regardless of how much multitasking you may claim that you do, or that I claim that I do, the truth is that we can only think about one thing at one time. Our mind's kind of like a single-core processor, you know? It does one bit of instruction, one line of instruction at a time. Now, sure, today we have, you know, dual-core, quad-core. They even have some octa-core processors and more. But the point is that we're a single-core processor, so we process one thought at a time, regardless of how much you may think you're multitasking. You're trying not to think about zebras, but all you have around you are zebras. You're never going to stop thinking about zebras. And if you fill your mind with elephants and surround yourself with elephants, by your very single-minded nature, sure, you'll stop thinking about zebras, but you won't be thinking about God. So if you go one step further and start to do what Paul tells us to do, you know, and to sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, whoa, look out. Then you start to see all goodness, all righteousness, and all truth manifest in your life. And what happens is you're drunk on the Holy Spirit. It's that simple, folks. In fact, the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And God said in Psalm 119, verse 113, those who are double-minded, I hate. He says that. I hate those who are double-minded. So the way to stop doing all these don'ts that we are by our very old nature, the old man, is to start doing all the do's on the new man's list. Make sense? So let's look at them as we start walking with Christ as the new man. First of all, we're to walk in love. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with any vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So in other words, we're to imitate God and love others as Christ first loved us. Okay, focus on the do's there, folks. And then you're walking in love. And then furthermore, when we start being grateful for all God's done in our lives and start giving him thanks, there's no time for idolatry. And we won't be deceived by the vain words of people like Johnny. So that's the first element of putting on the new man. And as Paul said, it starts to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, which is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then once you get walking in love down pat, add to it walking in light. Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give ye light. So, folks, we don't have to walk as others walk, in the vanity of their minds. We don't. We don't have to have our understanding darkened and remain alienated from the abundant life we can have in Jesus through the ignorance of the truth and because of the blindness of our hearts. We don't have to. And by all means, folks, we have to stop having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So if that type of thing is happening to you when you're listening to these people on Blog Talk, stop having fellowship with them. Stop having fellowship with them. It's that simple. And by the way, like I said, that includes these Pharisaical religious types preaching on Blog Talk. It does. And you know really what they're doing when they're preaching these works-based salvation messages? They're actually making God a liar. Because they're saying our salvation is by something other than his grace. And remember what Paul told the Romans. If it's by works and not by grace, then it's not grace but works that saved us. But if it's grace, then it's not our works that assures our salvations. It's that simple. It's that simple, folks. Yet these Pharisaical religious types will make it Jesus plus this or Jesus plus that, but never simply Jesus Christ and his cross. Never, ever, because there's pride involved. They want to earn favor with God. Okay, so we've looked at walking in love, and we've looked at walking in light, and we got them down pat. Now let's add to that walking in wisdom. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. And Paul says to the Ephesians, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now this phrase, not to walk circumspectly, that means to walk wisely, not as a fool. Then Paul says to redeem the time, yes, because these days are evil. And you know, I always cringe, folks, when I hear people say, "I had an hour to kill." When I hear that, in my head I'm screaming, "No, no, never kill time. We're to redeem time. Never kill time." So if you don't have anything to do, then seek the Lord to understand what his will is. That's what we're told to do. And there's even an instruction in Paul's letter to the Romans on how to know God's will. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." How? "By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So when we offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, we will know God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Now, to do this effectively, to offer ourselves up as living sacrifices, what we need are flesh hooks. Yes, flesh hooks. Did you know that the Levitical priests used two flesh hooks to hold that bloody sacrifice to the altar? And likewise, we need to apply these spiritual flesh hooks to our walk with Jesus to make ourselves living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. So by now you may be saying, well, what are these flesh hooks? What are these spiritual flesh hooks? Well, they both begin with the letter D. They are discipline and devotion. Yes, folks, we need to be both disciplined and devoted in our walk with the Lord. And that includes our study of the Scriptures, you know, our quiet time and meditation over the Scriptures that we have just studied, and our thoughtful times of prayer, both speaking to God, but more importantly, listening for what God has to say to us. And then as we continue our walk in the light, we need to be drunk on the Holy Spirit and not drunk on wine. And so we need to be also doing what we just did before in that third experiment and speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs by singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And then always giving thanks to God our Father in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, for example, you're driving your car down the road. You know, 2 months ago, you just made your last payment on that car. And all of a sudden, you start hearing a clunk in the right front wheel. Now, the old man would start to curse that, but not the new man. The new man would give thanks. Now, how do you do that when you're driving down the road, just paid your car off, and you hear a clunking noise? Well, it's probably your brake or your strut or one of the suspension parts or the wheel bearing. Okay? But praise the Lord, because your car's paid off and now you have that extra money to take it to the garage and get fixed. Or if God's blessed you with the ability to work on cars like he did with me, you have the talent and the resources to go buy the part and put it on. So thank the Lord that you have the resources available. You see how you just turn that circumstance a little bit towards the light, and then you're walking in the light, not in darkness? So you're thanking the Lord to have the available money to go get the repair done. And better yet, if you're gifted with mechanical abilities, you're not only thanking the Lord for the money to get the repair done, you're thanking the Lord for the ability to get the repair done. You see how easy it is? Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you folks. I've learned over the years that when I'm practicing this walk in love and light and wisdom and bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, then quite frankly, I have no time to even entertain those thoughts of the don'ts that were on that old man's list. So if you want to stop thinking about zebras, and who doesn't, then start thinking about elephants if you want, but then you're still going to be caught up in the flesh and probably no closer to Jesus or no further along in your putting off of the old man. But if you want to put on that new man and be absolutely certain that you've put off that old man and you've put on that new man, then start thinking about Jesus. And then you'll be walking in a life in Christ, okay? And I'm telling you, please don't try doing it in the flesh without grace, because you can't. Because as an old man, I'm telling you, it's impossible to stop doing those don'ts and start doing the do's. And it's only possible to do the do's by the grace of God. So just remember, this involves this process of putting off and putting on. Put off the old man and stop thinking about zebras and put on the new man. And don't think about elephants. No. Think about Jesus. Another way to look at it, and I'll wrap it up with this thought, is what you can call the Jesus factor. And I'd like to just reread Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, through Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So in the middle of all this putting on and putting off, in the middle of all these do's and don'ts from the old man list and do's from the new man list, what do we have? Right in the middle, we have the Jesus factor. Stop being unloving and start loving. Stop being unforgiving and forgive. Stop being ungodly and become godly. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. It's the Jesus factor, and that's what it means. Saved by grace, through faith, unto good works. Now, I love you all, folks. I truly, truly do. That's why I'm so passionate when I hear these emails with the angst and the hurt coming in from people. Stop thinking about those past hurts in your life. Stop thinking about these false gospels. Have nothing to do with these elements of darkness. And start living your life in Jesus and start forgiving and start loving and start walking in the light and start walking in wisdom. Start doing that, okay? And I'm telling you, the exercise in the Jesus factor.
Your glow.